Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. White lettering appears against the black background. Radical Media. A film frame is on a person's forehead. Third Eye Motion Picture Company. White titles appear against the black background. A Netflix documentary. A Radical Media and Third Eye Motion Picture Company production. A Joe Berlinger film.
Why were you suicidal?
In a seminar, an audience member holds a mic.
It's because I can feel very peak states in life, but I can go so deep that I don't see a way out.
Yes.
And I'm looking for a way to get out of my body or to hit myself or to... I can explain that deep and I don't find a way out.
What makes you hate yourself?
The man sways uncertainly on his feet.
Is it the red shoes?
What?
Is it the red shoes?
No.
Are you sure? Because they're fucking red.
As the audience member laughs, Tony Robbins wraps his cheek with his knuckles.
Don't you be smiling like that. You fuck everything up. If you smile like that too much, you'll want to stick around. You've been so hard on yourself. I love that you have such high standards. But those aren't high standards. That's called perfection. And most people overestimate what they can do in a year, and they underestimate what they can do in 2 or 3 decades. And you haven't been around long enough to have those extra 2 or 3 decades. So don't fuck it up. There's time.
Standing face to face with the troubled audience member, Tony flashes a warm smile and nods.
And if you give yourself just a little bit of time, and if you'll be a little more loving to yourself, I think you're going to find you got a lot to give. I can fucking feel it. And I know fucking people. And you know I do. That's right.
Thank you.
And I know you right now. Can you feel me?
Yes, I do.
So you and I are going to make a deal. I'm going to show you what to do to reshape yourself.
That would be nice.
And we're going to make it so you can enjoy yourself.
Oh, are you sure?
Not just when you're jerking off, other times too.
As the man yields a chuckle, Tony points.
And what you're going to do is you're going to remember as long as you live that I don't fucking bullshit. And you've seen it, haven't you?
Yes.
Do I tell the fucking truth? Even when it's painful? Even when it's not sweet?
Yes.
I'm telling you the truth. You just fucking begun and you're not going to fuck it up. You're going to take the time to fully develop and you're going to find a way to enjoy a little bit along the way.
The audience member's posture straightens slightly.
There you go. Did you feel that?
Yes.
What was that just happened?
He touches the man's shoulders and chest.
What just happened there when these came down like that? And you started breathing here too?
Start believing you and be open.
Tony gives him a hug. Fingers push a dial on a soundboard as the man weeps openly on Tony's shoulder. As they separate, Tony cradles the audience member's face in his giant hands and gives him a kiss on each cheek, then pats him encouragingly on the chest. They share a fist bump before Tony moves on through the crowd, trailed by a video camera operator. The audience member receives a group hug from those around him. Several people affectionately pat him on the head. He covers his face in elation as his supporters lift him up over their heads. Tony beams joyfully as he watches the man crowd surf across the swarm of people. The picture cuts to black. Now, Tony sits meditating in a hotel room with his earbuds in.
I'm a kid from Azusa, California, who did not have any fucking certainty, But I was certain of one thing. I was not about to grow up and have a family that was going to go through what I went through. And so I constructed this fucking Tony Robbins guy. I constructed him. I created him. He was me, but I built this motherfucker.
Our next guest is a number one best-selling author whose books and seminars have helped inspire more than 50 million people to transform their lives.
Perhaps best known for his 3 decades of work in the field of self-improvement.
More than 4 million people around the world have attended one of his live events.
I was looking at the list of people that you have helped. Bill Clinton, Princess Diana, Mikhail Gorbachev, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela. These are like the icons of my lifetime.
I would do these incantations where I would say over and over again, I'm fucking unstoppable, I'm fucking unstoppable. And I would say that for an hour while I would go on a run. So pretty soon after days of that shit, what do you think was in my head?
Everyone needs a compelling future. Everyone needs something to move towards. If you don't have something to move towards, you settle for where things are.
I would get up and I had no money. And I'd say, God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I'm one with God and God is everything. And I'd see God's wealth in the love and the friendships and the insights and the ideas and the emotion and the fucking energy in my body and my soul and my hunger and my desire to break through and make things happen. I didn't just say the fucking words.
Every day, work harder on yourself than anything else. Because if you become more intelligent, more valuable, more skilled, you can add more value to other people.
I realized if I'm going to get to my ultimate destiny, I got to be smarter. Who am I ultimately want to become? Or what is the destiny I'm here for? So I created this thing called Date with Destiny. If I could uncover what beliefs and values control me, I could literally redesign me. I created this motherfucker standing here.
He gestures as if pitching a ball into the packed audience at one of his events. As the picture fades out, a title appears. Tony Robbins, I Am Not Your Guru. A lone person walks along the beach on a coastline of high-rise buildings. A message appears. Tony Robbins travels to 12 countries a year, seeing over 200,000 people annually. An aerial view glides over the coastal city. Once a year in the U.S., Robbins conducts a seminar called Date with Destiny. Numerous yachts are docked alongside a waterfront resort. The seminar costs $4,995 to attend. Each of the 6 days typically runs over 12 hours. At the Boca Raton Resort and Club in Boca Raton, Florida, workers set up equipment in a ballroom. This is the first time Robbins has allowed outside cameras to fully document this 6-day event. Documentary director Joe Berlinger speaks with Date with Destiny video director John Turbitt.
What's the best way for us to interact with you? I think we're going to want to bring our own camera in there. So
sure.
I'll have one camera on Tony and one camera on the intervention, but I don't want to screw up what you're doing.
The challenge is a lot of times we never know where he's going to go with the interventions.
Right.
Tony can be in a great spot down in the front where we can nail it with 4 cameras.
Right.
Or it can be back here, you know, with a crowd of people around and we're completely blocked by everyone.
Tony heads through surface corridors.
How are you feeling about things?
I feel great. I've been with so many people over so many decades in so many different environments. What I love is the uncertainty of what's going to happen. But I also have absolute faith I know it'll unfold in a beautiful way.
Do you get nervous? Is there like stage fright? Is there like, you know, or anything
no,
like
there's
that?
There's no stage fright.
Lights go on in the ballroom.
This is going to be a beautiful adventure and a journey, and it always is. Every single one is different. Every single one has these extraordinary stories. Every single one has some crazy moments. And I'm glad you're just coming on the journey to check it out.
A title appears against the blurry backdrop of palm trees. Day one, preparation day. A quote, our entire life changes in a moment. December 10th, 2014. A man sits meditating on a curb. People unload from a shuttle bus.
Test one.
Sarah Fosmo, main room manager.
I'm letting the CIS in about 4 minutes. 4 minutes, 11:28, and he's on the fly in about 15. We're about 10 minutes from doors. Tony's team is with him at the house, and then we're on this side, so we're in constant texting communication. He wants to know the energy in the room, how's the registration process, what are our numbers, are flights delayed, everything.
Tony Robbins' home, Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay, so the exercise, what's great, what's missing, why are you here? I used the intervention to teach principles in the middle of it.
100%.
I love that. That's my favorite way to do it. That allows me to then circle back and I'll have them create their compelling view of what Extraordinary Life looks like.
Yep.
And that'll open up some shares and that'll open up some more interventions and we'll be rocking and rolling.
We're super excited to have you. There are quite a few of you, as you might see. If I could get everyone who's here to please stand up so we can unblock our exits, get excited.
Back at his home, Tony bounces on a trampoline.
We're only at 11:30, so now it's 11 even?
Yeah.
So I can do, maybe 10 minutes and 5 minutes.
He takes off his shirt.
57 degrees, baby. Whoa.
He plunges underwater in a small, square, cold water immersion pool. Back at the resort, the first few attendees race inside the ballroom, jockeying for good seats. A staff member high-fives a woman as she passes.
There's so many people there, and they've been in the room since 11:30, timing it so that he walks out, and it's just an utter buildup of energy. It's just so important for him. He gets there, walks up on stage, and just everyone's out of peak.
9:46 a.m.
Good morning.
Good morning. So here's your old one, and here's the new one. What Mary told me you wanted to switch these two, so I switched them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you think on timing this morning?
25 minutes.
Perfect.
In the now packed ballroom, the attendees bounce excitedly under flashing colored lights, while staffers on stage work to rile them up. People pump their fists and wave their hands in the air. Meanwhile, Tony's SUV arrives out back.
What is Date with Destiny, from your perspective?
From my perspective, it's a place that you go to uncover who you really are and what you're really about at this stage of your life.
Who is this program right for?
Anybody who's hungry. Anybody's looking for more. If you're not hungry, it's an absolutely wrong program for you. Don't even think about coming. You get eaten alive in this environment. But for somebody that's hungry, I got an experience for you, baby.
Thousands of people clap their hands in eager anticipation.
I'm bringing a mirror. I'm bringing crazy tools. I mean, I'll be off the charts. I'll be weird. I'll be bizarre. I'll seem gross. I'll use the science of taboo language because words have the power to pierce the conscious mind. Look, I'll do whatever the F it takes to break the pattern so you can reclaim who you really are.
Tony spins and pounds his chest before running out on stage. He claps the heels of his hands together in rhythm with the beat. He throws his arms wide, then continues clapping. With a flourish, he cups his fingers to his ears. One man's hands shake in excitement. Tony poses with one arm outstretched and the other hand shaking. A guy in the audience mimics him.
How you doing out there, ladies and gentlemen?
He claps as he roams the stage and points into the audience.
Good to see you. Start your morning ears out there now with 12 good morning high fives, hugs. Go for it. Introduce yourself. Connect.
The attendees hug the people around them.
All right, grab a seat.
Thank you for the warm welcome. What have you gotten yourself into? I want to welcome you here. First of all, this is my favorite program. This is my 74th Date with Destiny in 25 years, which is amazing. And over those decades, doing this literally all around the world in virtually every major country, I've had people from more than 100 countries attend this program. What I can tell you right now is this program is different than any other program. And what's different about this program is not only the depth of what we're going to go to, we're going to get to take a look at the force that controls every thought, every feeling, and every emotion of your life. The beliefs, values, and rules that literally control the way you think, feel, and behave. We are going to get emotionally fit because life is going to come at you. This is not some bullshit positive thinking seminar where I'm going to tell you to start chanting, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, and hope shit isn't there. This is a place where you and I prepare for anything. We look for the weed and we rip it out over the next 6 days and night if we're going to get to the source of what controls it all. Then you're going to change it, and you're not going to do it the way I tell you to. Who the hell am I? I'm not your guru. I didn't come here to fix you because you're not broken, and I know that. Even if you think you're broken, I'm here to tell you and show you you're not. What I want you to know is if you're going to have a breakthrough, when someone says it took 10 years to make a change, what you really find out is that change happened in a moment. It took you 10 years to get the moment where you finally said, never again. I quit. Let's begin. I love you. I do. It's over. Our entire life changes in a moment. Who gets that? Say I. And I want you to get that what we're going to do is have lots of those moments. And you can have as many as you want. There's no limit here. You can break through multiple times. Guys can even have multiple breakthroughs. It's an amazing thing. It's truly amazing. By the way, how many of you came here because there's something significant you really want to change in your life right now? How many came because that's a major outcome? Say I. We're going to make sure you get that change, but that's temporary. What we really want to do is not just solve your problem, but deal with the thing that creates it in the first place. That's what's going to be mind-boggling in its change. But for it to work, we got to be energy rich. And I know you won't always feel that way. I won't either. But that's part of the discipline of someone who's the best in the world at what they do. I'm inviting you right now to make a decision that for the next 6 days, you could do anything for 6 days and nights, couldn't you? The next 6 days, you play at a level of intensity you've never played before. You push yourself. You use your voice, your body to keep finding a way to increase that energy, because at that energy level, you'll get totally different insights than at the one most people live in day to day. And I go, I get it. I understand. I do. But if you and I wake up, we can take back control forever. You're going to watch people stand up the next few days and they're going to reclaim their life. They're going to wake up. And that's when the game gets exciting. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Say I. Good. So now, what's an area that you came here with that it's time to break through? What's an area of life that is not the way you want it? Who's got something of that nature? Yes, ma'am. Give her a hand.
2:37 p.m.
Give her a hand!
A staffer passes a microphone to a young woman in the audience.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Sienna, I'm from Newport Beach, California.
Sienna, give her a hand. It's Sienna, ladies and gentlemen.
Her name appears alongside her.
So, Sienna, what is it you're frustrated with? What is it that's not where you want it to be?
My diet.
Your diet. What about your diet?
Not that it has to be perfect, but that I know that my body and my health deserve better.
Okay. And better than what? Like, what are you not doing that you should be doing?
I'm not eating at the times of day I should be. Okay. That would be most beneficial for me.
Okay.
And it's making myself lose respect.
Lose respect for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And when you lose respect for yourself, what do?
I then eat. It's a whole fun circle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now, question. What are you doing all this for?
Sienna pensively chews her lips.
What's life about?
It's about finding love and happiness.
Okay, so life is about finding love and happiness, okay? And what has to happen for you to hit the target of love and happiness?
Do something kind for others.
So I got to do something kind for others.
Do something for myself that scares me. That's
new. Do something
new.
For myself that scares me. So here's this young lady. Life's about love and happiness. I got to do kind for other people. I got to do something that scares me. What else do I need to do?
I need to give love to those who don't have it.
Okay, I need to give love to those who don't have it. Fantastic. What else do I need to do?
I need to receive love.
And what do you have to do to receive love? Do you have to be worthy of it?
Yes.
And what has to happen for you to be worthy of receiving love?
I have to be responsible for their happiness.
I have to be responsible for their happiness. Now, fortunately, she's only how old?
19.
So she hasn't felt the wear and tear of a couple decades of that yet to wear her into the fucking ground. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Say I. We're seeing it right before all the fucking shit happens right now. Is this cool? Right? Now let's take a look at something for a moment. This is where your model of the world has come from, the thing that's controlling all your decisions. Whose love did you crave the most growing up? Your mother or your father? Not who did you love more. I'm sure you loved them both. Whose love did you crave more? Truthfully.
Since I didn't quite get it. It was my dad's.
Yes, clearly. Who did you have to be for your father? First reaction.
She smiles, uncertainly.
Oh my gosh. Whew.
Now, I really honor her right now. She's doing some real honest searching. Can you feel that? She didn't like this. You see that? See the breath? She liked that whole thing when I know what to say, know what to do, and I can achieve it all perfectly. This kind of uncertain world, like, what the fuck? This is the stuff most of us avoid, and she's not avoiding it. Give her a hand for that. That's really awesome. Who did you have to be for your father? First gut reaction. Not what's said, not your intellect, not your positivity, the fucking truth of what you feel.
Ignorant to his behavior.
Which behavior did you have to be ignorant to?
Drug abuse.
Drug abuse. And yet you love him, clearly, regardless of his behaviors. You love your father, is that true?
Yes.
I don't know, is it true? Maybe you don't.
I struggle, but at the end of the day, I do.
Yes. She loves him, she just hates that she loves him so much.
Grinning, she bats her eyes.
Is that true?
Yes.
So you craved your father's, because guess why? Rejection breeds obsession. Her daddy didn't reject her, but she didn't get the level that she wants, so she wants it even more. Is that your mother beside you?
Yes.
Yes.
She's the bomb. Love her.
Give her the microphone. What happens when she interacts with the father? What happens to her state? What happens to the way she is?
She is not afraid to tell him to go fuck himself.
Yes. Did you teach her how to do that?
I might have.
Yes.
Not knowingly, but I know she craved his love, but she wasn't crawling after it.
Oh, I didn't think she was.
No.
Here's the truth. There's this really sweet girl who's got a fucking tiger in there. Can you feel it?
Big time.
She's like the outside.
Yeah.
Right? She has that inside. But showing that's not really appropriate. By the way, you did show her how to do that.
I did.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
That's because you had your own fuck yous with him, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Many.
And she loves you, and she saw that, and she modeled it. What if I told you that it's possible that there's a little bit of an imbalance that she needs to heal, or she will never heal completely?
I believe that totally.
Yeah. And that for her to do that, she'd have to claim not just the fuck you, she'd have to reclaim the vulnerability that she has around him too. But if she doesn't do it, it's going to show up with pain for her with men in the future.
Yeah.
You're piling it on might make you feel like you're owning yourself, but you're piling it on is just burying the very person whose love you crave and who desperately needs your acceptance. Mm-hmm. As much as you've hated him, he's hated himself more, even if he's never shown it to you. Mm-hmm. That's why drugs. What'd you say?
Shit.
That was a good shit.
Yeah.
What if you called him and told him all the things you blamed him for and said, I need to have a conversation with you. I want to tell you, I blamed you for so much in your life, but I realized the other day, I need to make a new list. I blamed you for being addicted and this and that and all those things and things you should have done, but I haven't blamed you for being the one man that I could love. I haven't blamed you for being the greatest source of love that I know. You have to think about all the things you used to blame him for, and you need to blame him much more powerfully. You need to blame him consciously, effectively. Because if you're going to blame people for all the shit, you better blame them for all the good too. If you're going to give them credit for everything that's fucked up, then you have to give them credit for everything that's great. I'm not asking you to stop blaming. I'm saying blame elegantly, blame intelligently, blame effectively. Blame at the level of your soul, not the level of your fucking head. Because life is not so simple and black and white. My mother beat the shit out of me. She loved me. She was freaked out I was gonna leave. I was a source of everything. I blame her for all the beauty in my life. I blame her that I have the woman I have in my life because I cherish my wife because I know what the opposite is. I blame her for the capacity to feel and care. I blame her for my insatiable hunger to end suffering for any human I can. Because I suffered a ton. If she had been the mother I had wanted, I would not be the man I am proud to be. That's the truth. It's the truth.
A man stands up to applaud.
You want to know what our biggest problem is in this room? I'll tell every one of you, if you're willing to hear me, what your biggest problem is. You think you shouldn't have them. Because problems are what make us grow. Problems are what sculpt our soul. Problems are what make us become more. If we can realize that life is always happening for us, not to us.
He snaps his fingers.
Game over. All the pain and suffering disappears. Your father, your problem is your gift. He played the role he was meant to play. If he'd been the perfect father she wanted, she wouldn't have half the drive she has, not a third.
That would be tragic.
That would be tragic. You need to call this motherfucker and blame him for what a beautiful daughter he's created.
Sienna's mother, Jane, nods agreeably, then gives her a peck on the cheek.
And for you, my dear, what are you going to do?
I'm going to, hopefully, no, I will, have one of the first peaceful, completely peaceful and loving conversations I have ever had with him.
Even if it's not peaceful, it'll bring you peace.
Yes, that's what I mean.
And also, you can do it more than once. He'll need it more than once. Otherwise, it'll look like a fucking technique. Oh, you went to the fucking seminar and he told you to make your fucking list. You came to fucking see me. Fuck you. Give these two a giant hand.
He blows them a kiss. A technician adjusts the levels on the soundboard. Jane and Sienna receive hugs from others in the audience.
How do you select people? I mean, like when you're walking through the crowd, like do you vibe it out? You know,
it's instinctive. I don't really know. I mean, sometimes I know. Sometimes I'm looking for something specifically, but today it's just instinctive, the things we're going for. And then, you know, I feel what where can I take this? Where can it go? And the whole thing is, it's a dance. You know, to go from thinking her problem is dietary, which is where people are. They present this low-level stuff because we engage ourselves with little problems that we make into big things so we don't deal with the bigger ones that scare us. And so it was a beautiful example of that. And you got to see that, you know, the pattern she's on right now is manageable because she's so young, but the stacking of that, the friction of that in your life long-term could be totally destructive. And it started to open up the world of learning to appreciate all the aspects of other human beings so you could actually appreciate yourself, which in the end makes you human. There's enough variety, there's enough entertainment, there's enough rawness, and there's enough energy that people are engaged 11 hours into it.
Tony pushes through a set of black curtains, then moves up a portable stair unit and returns to the stage. He makes a pitching motion.
Shake your body out! Sit down and write down. What has prevented you from crushing it? What has prevented you from living what you dream? What belief? What behavior? What emotional habit? What's prevented you? What's been getting in the way? What story? What's been the conflict inside you? What's prevented you from having the life you deserve? What low standard have you tolerated for this to still be in your life?
At the end of the day, Tony gets back in his SUV. The time appears, 11:43 p.m.
All right, let's talk about tomorrow.
With creative department manager Diane Adcock.
I think day two's got plenty of emotion in it. The 9/11 story is a good story for that area. I like that. And then, boom, then we go in and we shift gears into the, you know, what blocks us, pain and pleasure, and those set of questions. Problem with the emotion that we want. Yeah, I like the flow a lot now. And
also, you did this in Fiji, but that acceptance exercise, like find four things that you can accept.
Oh,
right,
good
now.
Idea. Good
Super
memory.
Quick.
Great idea. That's another great one to do. So I really think the only thing that's left is red flags.
Jerrica Escoto, creative content specialist.
This woman, she was severely abused emotionally and physically by her father. She couldn't sit in class when she was growing up because often she had open wounds on her back, and she feared that her father would kill her because he owned a gun. So in her early 20s, what she did with that, because of those experiences, she volunteered for an organization that helped severely abused children who were kept in cages.
So this is horrific what's happened to her, but she would be an example probably of a role model.
Role model. Mm-hmm.
Of, wow, I can be put through this and I can still find a way to get outside of myself by helping others in a situation that's equally bad, or, you know, being kept in a cage, you might feel is worse. What I'm really looking for, the people on the red flags, are the ones that in any group of a couple thousand people, you can't know for sure, but there's usually a dozen or so people that are suicidal or have tried suicide and so forth. And there's no guarantee you can protect everybody, but one of the guarantees is reading all the forms, mm-hmm. anticipating as much as possible. And then I assign somebody to pay attention to those individuals one-on-one also, right. to make sure we're supporting them throughout the process.
One that you had emailed me about a couple days ago about...
Oh, yes, good. See, that's a red flag.
In the pod, yeah.
Yeah, well, who is this now?
He just tried to commit suicide a couple days ago.
Yeah,
before this
I need his picture, and I need to make sure that we put is Jerry McKinney in that group?
Yes.
Yep. So we'll put Jerry on it. Jerry will know what to do. We've worked on this many times together. I want him feeling supported in this environment. He could transform. Okay. That's a red flag, right? Yep. That's a red flag. Okay, this one.
A perspective from outside Tony's house shows a lamp on behind one window, while the others remain dark. The view lifts to reveal the moon above palm trees, fade to black. In a time lapse, dawn turns to day along the Boca Raton waterfront. Clouds roll in over the palms. A woman walks a sunny footpath at the resort. A title appears, Day 2, Evaluation Day. A quote, push will wear you out. 9:15 a.m.
Team 6, come on over.
Come back in, everybody. Come on.
Come a little closer. Come a little closer.
Who would like to start to share?
This is day 2 of Date with Destiny, and today is the first day that all of our participants get into teams. In that meeting, they get a preview of the day. They get a chance to talk about their breakthroughs and what they learn.
Team 3!
Yay!
Woo! Come on in! All right, now, would you all agree that Jane and Sienna gave us an amazing gift?
Yes.
Jane, why don't you come up here? Come on up, sweetie.
Well, it was completely unexpected. I didn't realize that Sienna felt responsible to not ever be really, really sad around me. And that broke my heart. So I think she's liberated from that. And yesterday, she called her father. And they had the most beautiful, healing conversation ever.
Sienna gives her mom a hug.
Did I show you the text that I...
No, show me.
The young woman digs out her phone from her backpack.
So he sent me this. Oh, he sent me another one.
Oh.
Sienna, you will never know in a thousand lifetimes what that call meant to me. You are the light of my life, and my love for you has kept me going through the deepest darkness. I could not be more blessed to have you in my life and will never forget this moment. I needed that loving call in such a big way. Thank you for being my angel, darling. Dada loves you so much. And this morning he said, Dada loves you.
Aww.
Now, Tony's black SUV arrives in the resort's service alley.
Where does Date with Destiny fit into your world in terms of who you are as a teacher? You know, what it represents philosophically for you?
Date with Destiny is my very favorite event, just because it covers the controlling force that really controls everything. All your thoughts, all your feelings, all your emotions, your beliefs and values, and how quickly that can all shift.
The attendees are admitted back into the ballroom for the day's events.
I love that we can do an event where you really say, hey, I'm gonna stop and decide what my life's about. Instead of life just taking you, you take life back. And I love to see people when they own themselves again, as opposed to when they're running a pattern they've run for years. So what did you learn from the first relationship? In the room, every interaction I'm doing, I'm not just working with that individual, I'm 1,000,000% of that individual, but there's another part of my consciousness that's saying, now how do I relate this in a way so that everybody gets value at some level? And I gotta be able to do that while I'm talking to a stranger they don't know. Connection, breakthroughs, truth, anything you wanna remember that's valuable, pull it out of your head right now onto the paper. I love the challenge of being able to sustain it for 6 days and nights with people from 71 countries, and you got people on headsets, having this being translated through somebody else and keeping them completely engaged.
Translator subtitles appear. Did anybody see the movie called Mr. Holland's Opus? What is more significant than love? Nothing.
to be able to see all those people with all those personalities and all those backgrounds and all those differences and see them come together as a community that I've been able to create in a few days, where they're willing to support a total stranger with so much love. How y'all doing this afternoon? That's incredibly gratifying.
When you're on stage for 10, 12 hours, how do you maintain your energy?
There's no net. I think that's part of the secret, because that's where there's a drive inside of you that says you have to find the answer. When I walk out there, and it's me and some music I point out, and all these souls saying, what are we going to do? That was the push. I'm no longer pushed. I'm pulled. Push will wear you out. When you're pushing to do something, you only got so much willpower. But when you're pulled, when there's something larger than yourself that you're here to serve and that you believe you're made for, that brings energy. And every time another thing transforms, another soul's touched, I get more energy, more strength, I make more distinctions. And my job is to dominate the problem out and bring out within that person what's really strong. Tell me about your father.
He addresses a woman named Holly.
My father? My father's the most amazing man on the planet. He's loving, self-sacrificing, playful, sweet, just wonderful.
He taught you you're his little princess, didn't he? Motherfucker.
Excuse me.
Tony, sometimes you use rather extreme language with people. It's kind of shocking.
I use language in a very direct way. In every culture, there are taboo words, and when you use them, you're able to interrupt the noise in people's heads. I want to provoke people back into the reality of this moment. That's how they change. He meant well. Look how he fucked up.
He set the bar so high, I don't even know if it's possible to reach it.
That's right. He taught you you didn't have to do anything to be loved. You should have all your needs be met. He's a beautiful man with a big heart that fucked you up. It made you think you were entitled. And when you're not, you're confused why it didn't come your way. Made it so that you could take love away if you didn't get it, because you had no fear of losing it, because he always gave it to you. So your husband never stood a chance. Now, what did you do to your ex-husband that led to that relationship ending?
I probably withdrew love from him.
Tony paces around, nodding.
But he hurts me.
And you hurt him.
Yeah, I guess I do. He doesn't seem like he cares, though. It doesn't even seem like it affects him.
Of course he doesn't. Same strategy you use. He's just better at it. Because he's a man. He has no one to talk to about it, so he won't.
He doesn't talk about anything.
He's a man.
He shrugs matter-of-factly.
You're like all shocked, like, he doesn't talk.
Well, now I have a relationship with my boyfriend talks about everything.
Yeah, because you got a feminine guy.
It's driving me crazy. He doesn't stop talking.
A video feed of Holly is projected up on screen for the rest of the audience to see.
Poor guy. I'm so glad he's not here.
I wish he was here. We could set him free. In fact, maybe that's what we should do as a first step. Get out your phone. And it's time to start doing the right thing, right when you know it's fucking right. Not when it's convenient and comfortable and feels good to you and you get your brain around it. Pick up your fucking phone.
She sinks down toward her seat.
Stand up.
She rises back into view with her phone.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is he the right man for you?
She lowers her eyes, her face drawn and weary.
Can you? Does anybody know the answer looking at her face right now?
I don't want to hurt him.
You already are. He thinks he has a chance, and you know there's no way in fucking hell. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I can't. You're right.
Is this true, what I'm asking you to take on?
Yes.
Is it honest?
Yes.
Is it painful?
Yes.
That's why it needs to be done. So you have a chance right now. I'm not forcing you to do this. You got to consciously say, I want to do this before you ring that phone, or don't do it. And when I say I want it, doesn't mean I like it. I want it because I know it's right. not Tony made me. Because if later on you're Tony made me, if that's going to be the story, then don't call.
He knows that Tony can't make me.
Good.
I know that Tony can't.
And I know that too. So all three of us know it now.
And 2,500 other people.
Correct. So now the truth is clear. Okay. Make the fucking call.
Her face contorts in a grimace.
Hey, baby. You know what? I've kind of just come to a serious realization, and I just feel like I need to tell you. And I think realistically, I love you so much that I make excuses for the fact that we're probably really not right for each other romantically. And I'm sorry, that's not what I didn't want to do that to you. I can't live like this. And I don't think you can either. The role that you're playing is not who you are. The role that I'm playing is not who I want to be. And I don't want to be some masculine, ball-busting broad. That's not who I was created to be. If I just keep in the relationship because I don't want to lose the good stuff, it's selfish. And, you know, that's the one thing I don't want to be. Baby, I love you. I'm not going to pretend it never happened. I'm just trying to be honest while I have the courage. Babe, please don't do that. Please don't do that. I just want to...
A microphone withdraws from her. The audience gives her a standing ovation as she crumples into the chair in tears. The woman in the seat next to her hugs her comfortingly.
Are you ever concerned about giving the wrong piece of advice? I mean, you're doing it on the spot.
But I'm not doing what I want. I'm not doing what I think is right. If you watch what I do, I watch what their body tells me is right. You know it's true because when it's true, their whole nervous system responds. And so I'm looking for what's real. And when I find it, I take that vein and take it all the way to the soul. I'm not a surface guy. I can't stand living on the surface. I think that's why people are so unfulfilled today. People text instead of communicate. People think their Facebook friends are their friends. I mean, some of them may be your friends, but depth is what people are missing. So I like to take people deep. And when you take people deep, everybody's riveted because it's so rare.
Tony addresses Holly.
Step back up, please, if you would. Why are they standing looking at you? What did you see in their eyes?
Love.
You felt it, right?
She nods, a tear streaming down her cheek.
From what kind of person did you feel love?
Every kind.
Yes. How do we get love from every kind of person and people we don't even know?
I'm going to do the right thing.
Tony points approvingly. Holly eyes the crowd that surrounds her.
I can't believe I did that.
This level of authenticity will lead to a rich life. This woman will face challenges and she will figure them out and solve them, and she'll make mistakes and she'll clean them up. This woman right here can have life the way she wants it, the way she deserves it.
Near the soundboard, a blonde woman wearing earbuds taps commands on a laptop. Holly closes her eyes and swallows as people stand and cheer her up. She dries her tears. A nighttime view lifts away from the warmly lit conference center as the picture fades to black. In the morning, the surf rolls in. From Tony's beachfront property, a dog barks out at the water.
All right, come on down here. Let's do Moon, M-O-O-N. And we're going to keep that little lyric down.
In his fitness room, through a set of French doors, he stares out at the ocean. Kneeling on a pad, he checks his phone.
I think most of us are unaware of the patterns that are really controlling us.
He now sits with a block held between his knees.
You got to know precisely what do you really want at this stage of your life? What do you need? You know, what are the triggers for you that make you crazy, and are they worth letting go of?
No, 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 no.
It's deciding, just like building muscle, that you're going to sculpt yourself into what you're capable of being, as opposed to whatever life and circumstance has provided you the opportunity to show up as.
He He heads down a curved staircase.
We all get what we tolerate. And this is a program about saying, I'm going to decide what I want. I'm not going to tolerate anything inside myself that's less than I can be or do or share or give.
Back in Boca Raton, a title appears. Day 3, Discovery Day. A quote, we all get what we tolerate. Morning staff meeting, 8:32 a.m. Head trainer, Tad Schinke, addresses a room full of employees.
So just to kind of set a frame here, this is a red flag review, and this is an opportunity for us to get an understanding of some people that may need special assistance during the course of the program. What we want is just the team number, what the key issues are, and, you know, what your plan is for dealing with them. So who would like to go first?
We'll go first.
Yes. The issue is childhood beatings at ages 3 and 4. Father finally abandoned him. The plan is to possibly change personal history, collapse some anchors potentially, and definitely check in and make sure he's aware of the triad.
Who's next? Yes.
Team 29, we have several. The first participant, he was in a motorcycle accident and sustained some brain injuries. He's permanently disabled. So the first thing we're going to do is make sure that he's processing and understanding everything that he's getting in the room.
She is dealing with autoimmune disease, constant pain. Our group has 3 of us who have made major changes in our life to help us with health issues. So that will give her knowledge that she's in the right place.
Mother was murdered by stepfather.
One of the children was forced by an adult to abuse his sister.
They were held hostage for 3 days in a terrorist attack.
At age 6, she had sexual abuse from a close family member. Age 11, physical abuse from her father. And at age 17, her closest brother was killed in a motorcycle accident.
One thing that can sometimes happen when we go through this special care review is people can focus on these negative events that have happened in people's lives. What I would suggest we might focus on is the impact that we're going to be able to make. The events are really irrelevant. I mean, they're important. They're what's happened to people. But if we focus on what we're going to be able to do, how we're going to be able to help them, it's going to put us in a state that's going to allow us to show up at our absolute best. If we focus on, you know, the trauma that people have gone through, that's probably not going to happen. Yes?
Yes.
Awesome.
A pair of SUVs arrives in the service alley. As Tony exits one, he's met by a handful of staffers.
Okay, we're wrapping up our second wheel.
Oh, I'm ready for you. I sense an urgency coming out of your voice.
We're ready. I've got Tad right here. I think we should walk and talk.
Tad shows him pages of highlighted notes.
What you got?
This is the one that we had given you originally.
No, we already read.
Okay.
Total attention getter.
And I think this is...
I wonder what she looks like, because I'm not going to waste time with her.
Okay.
Everything she does is to get attention.
Okay.
And this was one that's on Team 1.
Suicidal, drugs...
Alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, pot as well, I think.
I read it.
Okay.
But how many songs?
Song 4.
Okay, I gotta go.
They're ready for you. They're ready.
What I'm gonna do is, rather than pick somebody, I'm just gonna go in the room and see what's there.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go from there.
Where does this mission of yours come from?
Initially was pain that I wanted to end for myself and others. I think that's what started it.
Tell me about the pain. What were those sources of pain, and how did you harness that?
Just the core of it is a great mother who loved me but was unstable in her own life. In the beginning, I think I linked to it all. That was just my mom. I didn't realize that she was an alcoholic and, you know, addicted to pain medications because that's all I'd ever known.
Family photos show him at different ages.
I had to be the person who did everything because my mother wouldn't go out of the house. I had to go to the pharmacist and convince him to give me more Valium because she lost her bottle of Valium, never even thinking that she was just taking more and more of the stuff. And she developed a dependency upon me. When I was going to go off to college, she did everything she could to kind of stop that, not because she didn't want me to go to college, but she didn't want to lose me. So she got more violent, and she's only 5'1", but she had me come down, grab my hair, and smash me against the wall, or she'd tell me I was lying about something, pour liquid soap down my throat till I threw up, just some crazy shit.
He warms up the crowd at his seminar.
But I don't want to malign her because I wouldn't be who I am without my mom. it made me become a practical psychologist. I mean, I had to figure out how to keep her stable, how to make sure my brother and sister, you know, were not affected by it. I had to please her. It made me a pleaser in the early part of my life for sure. And I think, I don't know, it produced in me drive because I had to find a way to have a life that wasn't going to be like that for my family. Now, here's what we're going to do. Raise your hand if you're really fucked up.
7:14 p.m. People raise their hands.
Okay, one really fucked up. Two really fucked up. So many fucked up choices. Now I know who I'm not going to call on. All the people that want attention. No, you're all fucking dead. Now I know who you are. None of you. I'd really like to sincerely bring somebody up who is suicidal. And I know you're out there simply because in a room of 2,500 people, on average, there's 12 people that are suicidal. So now would be the chance for you to handle this shit so you don't have to live with that anymore. So if you're suicidal, stand up.
Two blonde women are among those standing.
Okay, give these people a hand. They're suicidal, for God's sakes.
The man from the beginning of the film stands as well. Tony walks up to one of the blonde women.
Hi. What's your name?
Dawn.
You just checking your name tag to know whether it was Dawn or not?
Because in Brazil, they call me Sol.
Oh, really? What does it mean, Sol?
Sun.
Sun? What's a sun that wants to kill itself?
Well, actually, I'm a sun for everyone else.
I see.
But...
her name appears, Dawn.
No one really knows really what's inside me. And when I came here, I said, I'm not going to fake it anymore.
Good. You know I wouldn't accept that anyway. So tell me, what's going on in there?
Well, I'm tired of having so much pain and carrying it for so many years.
How old are you?
26.
Oh, give me a break. You could take another 30 years of this shit. You're not that fucking weak. Don't tell me that shit. I don't want you to, but you sure as hell could. Don't lie to fucking me. You and I are going to have some truth. If you're going to tell me what's really going on, we're going to have truth. Is that fair?
Yeah, you want to hear it.
Yes, I want to hear it. Tell me.
Okay. I was born in a community called the Children of God. I don't know if you ever heard of it. But as we were born, we never had a chance to choose who we wanted to be. We were kids growing up, and we had to be children... soldiers of God, and they believed that love, God's love, was sex. So everyone had to give their love through sex. So everyone, since we were 6 years old, to give God's love, you had to have sex with people and see your mother and your brothers, everyone being abused. And you grow up already knowing that you don't have a life. You have to be a vessel of God's love, and you can't have any own choices. So as the time passed, when I was 12, I said, I cannot handle this. I believe that there's love, and this is not it. I haven't found one model that I can look at and say, that is real. So I had my own vision of God, even though I was grown up with visions of a totally disgusting God, Jesus that wanted to fuck you, that wanted to do horrible things with you. But I said, I believe in something else, even if I've never saw it. But then I've been trying to construct myself, but when I see all of my family, like, they're all depressed, they all want to kill themselves. My brother's a huge mess, my mom is a huge mess. And, like, they would never believe if I stand up, she's suicidal. No, I'm the one that takes care of everybody. And I'm always there positive, and I'm always there trying to do everything to help them and to coach them and say, no, everything's going to be okay. And I'm, like, the solution maker in my family. But I just came to a point that I don't know what to do with so much pain. And I don't know. I'm 26, and I've never had a relationship. I don't know what love is. And one of my friends said, I know a guy called Tony. He's a great guy.
Tony gives her a hug. A woman in the audience weeps as she watches them. Tony continues to hold Dawn in his tight embrace. They both keep their eyes closed.
A miracle. A true miracle. To make it through that and be here in this moment, you're a miracle to everyone in this room. There's one thing I know.
He relinquishes his embrace.
Out of insane insanity, out of pain, out of injustice. You've not been through pain, you've been through spiritual pain. It's beyond what most people could ever imagine in their lives. You haven't deserved any of it. But out of that comes unbelievable fucking strength. And you're tired of being strong, but you still are. You've been trying to make sense of all this. And there is no sense. And that's made you the most crazy. But how there's going to be sense in this is, you are going to make sure that this stops with you. With you, it stops. And love begins. Real love begins. And that love is all you really are made of. That's why you made it through it. You are the purest. If you want to know what love is, it's called you. You made it through all that shit with pure love. That's what it is. Pure love. Pure love. You're incredible. You're incredible.
The others rise in a standing ovation.
I love you. I love you. I don't want you. I love you.
As he smiles at her, Dawn rubs the tears from her eyes.
I'm able to do what I do because of all I've been through. And they don't talk about it and go details of it because why go through the story? But there's no way I would care this much unless I felt feelings that are similar to your own. And what I can tell you is, because I've been through that, I have fucking muscle and strength. I have a spiritual strength in me just like you do. And because that, I can reach anyone. I've gone to the darkest, scariest places. And because that, I can lift people to the highest places. And you have that gift. And that gift is being born today, right fucking now, with some new choices of what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now.
A man with dreadlocks puts his pinkies in his mouth and whistles.
You were put in a situation where you ain't able to choose. Now you're in the position where you choose. You take all the power back today. You consciously decide. And here's the cool thing. You've already fucking decided. You just looked for the moment. And I know you wanted a place that was safe. And I know you want a place where there'd be love. And you picked the right place.
A woman's lower lip trembles as she sucks in a breath.
Do me a favor, step up on your chair so you can see. And I want you.
Standing on her chair, Dawn looks out at all the friendly faces of her supporters.
Really look, take it in. Look at the number of people.
One woman holds her two hands together to make a heart shape.
Really look. Stop and grab as many gazes as you can.
Others make the heart shape with their fingers.
There's men out there that are just sending you love, and that's all they want is to send you love. Find a few of them that when you look in their eyes, you know that they're not only safe, but they really are sending you love, and there's no agenda.
Subtitles appear as Dawn responds. I have a hard time believing in that.
I know, but I want you to look in their eyes and find the three that you know is true.
She looks around and points.
Him? Okay, there's one.
The dreadlocked man steps forward, wiping tears from his eyes, then presses his palms together in a prayerful expression. Dawn points to another man.
Yeah. Stand up. There he is. There's another one right here.
He hugs her.
He was sweet with me, even though I had a horrible face and was sitting down here and everyone was thinking that girl is in a really bad mood, just not interacting. And he was there talking to me and being sweet.
Yes. He's sincere, isn't he?
Yeah.
I need one more.
Dawn scans the crowd.
Him.
Come on up here.
A younger man steps forward and gives her a hug. Holding her in the embrace, he rubs her back consolingly. Dawn straightens with a smile. She rubs a tear from her eye.
So I'm going to ask if you will become her new uncles, the ones that she can trust for the next 10 years of her life.
The man with dreadlocks holds her hand and pats it warmly. He gives it a kiss, then backs away with his hands folded worshipfully.
And the form of that is really simple. For the next 6 months, you connect to her at least once a month for a few minutes. Just see how she's doing, be there for her, support her, and give her anything that you're capable of doing that she asks. And better yet, if you're a great uncle, you anticipate what she might need, and you deliver it before she asks. And the value for you in this transaction, I don't need to tell you, because you were pulled here. You were chosen. You chose yourself. And something inside of you was pulled to let her know how loved she is. And this is what you were made for. You were made to love unconditionally. And the more we do, the more we experience the human in humanity. We experience our true nature. And we feel deeply alive. So here's what we're going to do. If you want. I have a partner, and she's considered one of the greatest family therapists, strategists in the world. And her name is Chloe Madonnas. And what I'm going to do with you, if you want, is I'm going to put you through that training so that you have every talent I have to be able to help anyone.
Overcome with tears, Dawn nods.
Okay. Now you up for that? Okay. You'll learn the principles behind what I do. You won't be a copy of me. You'll be you, which will be more powerful. And you have a life experience on top of the skill. You have a caring. My power is my caring. My power is my love. My power is I can pierce anything because I am the real fucking thing, and so are you. And that real thing can get through to anybody if you care enough and you're persistent enough. But I also have developed strategies, and I'll teach them all to you.
Thank you, all right? So much. Okay. So much.
She mouths, thank you, and gives Tony another hug. He kisses her cheek and flashes her a wide smile. As she says something to him, he kisses the back of her hand and raises a bolstering fist before walking away. Dawn steps down off her chair and hands off her microphone. Tony wipes tears from his face as he pushes through the crowd of applauding acolytes. Dawn shares a group hug with two of her surrogate uncles. Other strangers embrace her as well.
Tony, what happens in that moment with you?
I just felt her and felt for her and knew something had to be done now. And my mind said, what the fuck do you do with all this? This is inhuman what was done to her. And I just said, there is a way, and it just comes through me. Nothing genius there. I've never dealt with this issue, obviously, or anything like this, but I just decide, and I know it's done, and then it comes out. And it's beautiful to experience and witness. I just really believe people's love and caring, if they led with that, they'd find the way. I think they lead with their fear they're going to fail, and I will not fail. Not a person in that situation. It's not an option under any circumstances. I know she's there. Just come to this moment. Just come to this moment for a reason, and I will not fail her. It's suffering in my own life that makes me not let anybody else suffer that I could possibly do something about. I love to see people light up, but I will not let them stay in suffering if I can humanly do anything.
But that doesn't tell me why.
Because I know what it feels like, and I don't want anyone to feel that way.
I had a difficult childhood. I've suffered. And I don't have that capacity.
My obsession. It's an obsession. It's an obsession to break through. It's an obsession to help. I'm addicted to it. It makes me feel like my life has deep meaning, not just surface meaning, and everybody's got their thing, and this is my thing.
Tears twinkle in his eyes. He sits in an upholstered chair, still wearing his headset mic, as he collects his composure. Cut to black. Now, the sun breaks through billowing, puffy white clouds. A view through grass and weeds shifts focus to ocean waves, gently rolling in to a beach beyond. A boat skims through an inlet. At the Boca Raton Resort and Club, words appear. Event market research interviews with the dreadlock man.
Coming to Date with Destiny, what was it that you were seeking or looking to explore about yourself or about life that brought you here?
One of my limiting beliefs was that I'm just not very good with people and I don't make good first impressions and I have a really hard time connecting with people. And that was the story that's been playing out for decades. And what I realized is that I love connecting with people.
So that's interesting because here it brings you to Date with Destiny where someone is asked to pick people out of a crowd of 2,500 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, a first impression.
Yeah, you know, I never really, that's a pretty amazing thing.
Thank you.
Dawn hugs her surrogate uncles.
You guys did great. Thank you.
I love you.
Love you too. There you are, my third uncle.
Yeah. Enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. Take care.
Thank you.
I'll see you downstairs.
In that moment, it was just such loving energy in that room. And I just saw their loving faces. Like, it's super hard nowadays to really look at someone and believe that it's real, what they feel. And at that moment, I didn't ask twice. I just knew it was real. So that was very liberating for me, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank
really
you.
I appreciate it.
She meets dancer, singer, actress Julianne Hough.
Two awesome ladies.
I'm good.
Wonderful. How do you feel today?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, I know all of us feel amazing too. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It gave so much light in all of our lives. The thing that got me was that I was sobbing uncontrollably, not because, I mean, I was because of the pain that you'd gone through, but because of the strength that you had. Mm. And it touched something inside of me because of certain things that happened in my life and in my past, not to your extent, but that I've had to go through and let go of as well. And I came here last year, and that set me free. And yeah. I'm so able to love now, and I'm able to receive love, and it's the greatest gift on the planet. So you are so loved.
To me, what was just so inspiring is that you had the courage to get up and speak about something that is so unfathomable to all of us. Oh my God, I can't.
Maria Menounos, television host.
The thing that struck me the most is that you were able to forgive. Most of us walk around in this world with such anger and such pain and such hurt. And we want to hurt others because they've hurt us. And you were the complete opposite. I just was so moved by that. I don't know, it's
you are going to be
crazy.
So free this year. I can't even tell you.
I have no doubt about that.
Everybody to the front of the room, please. Please quickly make your way to the front of the room. Good morning, everyone. We'll see you in the front of the room.
Come on over. Come on over. We have to make this quick.
So a huge thank you to everybody for yesterday. Was there some unbelievable magic created in the rooms yesterday?
Yeah.
Morning staff meeting, 8:52 a.m.
Tony was definitely on his game.
Yeah.
I think it was Dawn was the children of, no.
Soldiers of God.
Soldiers of God.
Children of God,
whatever.
Oh,
we had a participant who was also from Brazil, who said they went through something very similar, and he brought over a check for the equivalent of $50,000 to give to her, to allow her to help the other people that had gone through similar things.
In Tony's SUV.
We have Keish,
share updates.
Okay.
Dawn is feeling amazing. She says it was the best day of her life. She's never been better. She read all the letters that people have sent, you know, really trusting her. She woke up and felt so happy that by being open and letting people into her life, that it released her.
She's also received, I think, about $100,000. Do you know that she sold everything she had to come to this event? She sold her furniture to come to this event.
That's crazy.
That's, to me, the wildest thing in the world. Holly, she was like, at her end.
With Holly.
I watched how compassionate and kind and sweet Tony was with Dawn, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And then I reflected back on the man that was looking at me and talking to me, who was, quite frankly, hard ass, big time.
But that's because that's what
I needed it, and I'm not denying that. But the little girl in me was a little sad about that when I woke up. And I thought, man, you know, he's nice to all these other people. And to me, I get the dickhead. But what it made me realize was that's what you get when you bring your masculine energy to a masculine man. So first I was a little bit hurt. And then I went, if you would have been really nice and mamsy-pamsy, I wouldn't have done shit. So I get it.
So this is your new start. Today is relationship day. Anybody excited about relationships?
The team throws their hands in the air. Day 4, relationship day. A quote, heal the boy and the man will appear.
Think of it. What are the two deepest fears everyone has? They're not, what? If they're not enough, they won't be. Where do you have the ability to have that fear show up the most except in an intimate relationship where you want them to need, to want, to value, and to love you most? This is the area where we get to this section of the seminar. The energy can change. Sometimes people start to go from the highest high to the most freaked out low. Well, look whatever you're afraid of in the eye. I'm going to push through it. Who's with me on this? Say I. Because on the other side, when you get to that place and you jump through that empty hole that's in front of you, that unknown, that future, you're going to find it's much greater than you've even imagined. What it takes to make relationship work is really simple. It takes unbelievable courage. Because this takes you to the rawest place in yourself. This is the place also where the rewards are greater. If you want to talk about spirituality, that's wonderful. Going and sitting and praying is a beautiful thing. Going in a cave and meditating, that's not an accomplishment. Try being with a human you love 24/7, whose love you desire, and keep growing spiritually there. That's where you're going to be challenged, not by yourself, right? How many people, you know, say, what's your vision for your relationship? Look at you, what, are you fucking crazy? Vision? Good vision for my business, my vision for my relationship. Here's my vision. We're going to go home, fuck, have something to eat. It'll be good. You know, maybe we know why you're alone. Right? So we want a vision for it. That's what's going to lift the game completely. We want to lift it to a different level. How many follow? Say I. So who wants to share? Raise your hand if you want to share your vision so we hear a sampling.
People raise their hands, bouncing with the music.
This lady right here. Yes, ma'am.
She takes a microphone.
Give her a hand. Tell us your vision.
Her name appears, Tammy.
I'm really excited to share this. This is a whole 98% of why I came to this program, and I'm really excited about this. It's a relationship where I can be strong and powerful in my life, yet when I look at him, I melt. It's a relationship where I am free, like I am dancing in the stars, because I feel the strength and presence of my man and know that nothing could ever shake that. It's a relationship that makes me feel like a giddy girl, where his heart and chest are the place where I can feel the masculine heart of the universe. His body, when it touches me, it is safety, warmth, strength, power, calm, adventure, and allows me to access the entire universe. When my body touches him, it is like a supernova of my essence with the rest of the universe. I like being, wow, feeling the universe. It would bring a strength and power to our lives that I, at least, have been dying to access so that we can carry out our soul's mission and vision.
Wow, very nice. Give her a hand. Is there a man in your life right now?
Yes, he's here.
Stand up, sir. Give him a hand.
Her significant other puts his arm around her and kisses her temple.
What is your vision, sir?
his name appears, Lance.
So my vision is that we continue to stand in our essence that we have discovered now, our true essence, and that we have the ability to snap ourselves back when we get in times of stress. And to ever expand that, essence.
Stop.
Yeah.
Painful.
Tony stalks over to the couple.
Jesus Christ. Get out of here. Holy fuck. Painful.
As Lance steps out into the aisle, Tony gestures for the music to lower.
I cannot believe that's the chest she's talking about putting her head on. That was embarrassing, Lance. Now, you've had some pain with this woman, clearly. She's a wild fucking creature, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you look a little beat down. How long have you been together?
A little over 9 years.
How often do you guys make love?
Tony steps in close to him and glances at Tammy.
About once every 2 weeks.
About once every 2 weeks. Is that
usually? Twice a month.
Twice a month. Okay, good. Sounds like, you know, an enema you might take or something like that, you know, twice a month. Lance, was your father a powerful man? Or a feminine man?
Feminine man.
Got it. Pleased your mom all the time?
Yeah.
And you craved your dad's love, and so who did you have to be for your father?
Whatever would stay out of his way.
Stay out of his way.
Yeah.
So you learn to let him dominate the situation. So his wife dominated him, and he dominated you.
Yeah.
This is not a weak man. This is a man who's been rewarded for being weak because he originally got pain if he was strong, to be fair to him. And that is a brutal and unfair fucking task. And I have been through the same period, only with a mother, not a father. But there is a day in which it all can change. See, there was a day a long time ago. It was a time when a little baby was born. And the little baby was there with the baby's mother. And there was an attack. And the attack was brutal. And the mother was killed. And the father, trying to save the child, threw him in the bushes so the baby lion lived. And then the father was massacred as well. And after the massacre was done, the little baby woke up all alone. There was nothing to even see what his mother would look like. All he knows is he was alone, barely functioning at an early age. And then these sheep came by. Bah. And the little lion cub came out, and one of the sheep came up and rubbed up against him. Bah, bah. And before you know it, within a few months, he's one of the troop. You see this little lion going around going, bah, 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 making the same sounds. And then one day, a group of lions came in, and they sliced up all the sheep around them. And now the little lion is a big fucking lion going, bah, bah. And he's horrified by it all. He's in shock. And this one giant lion comes over and smacks him on the head and says, what the fuck is going on with you? And he grabs him by the hair and he takes him.
He grabs Lance by the hair.
And he takes him till he can see a puddle of water there. And he looks, and he sees he's not a fucking sheep.
Holding Lance by the scruff of the neck, he points his head downward as he stares at Tammy. Tony lets him back up and releases him.
But still, he's not convinced. So the lion feeds him some of the sheep, and he's trying to spit it out because it's a vegan and stuff. Are you vegan?
Lance shakes his head.
Close enough. He's horrified. I can't eat my brethren. But then the big lion shoves into his mouth and something magical happens inside. Something truly magical. He fucking remembers who he is. That there's something inside of you that nothing can ever take away. Nothing.
He grips Lance's head in his hands.
Something so fucking strong that it can be kind but powerful.
He releases him again.
And as the food goes down, a crazy fucking thing happens. He stops saying, bah, bah. And he fucking roars. Give me a roar. That's the fucking roar! That's the fucking roar! Fuck yes, brother! That's the fucking roar! Give me a roar! Give me a roar! Give me a fucking roar! That's it!
Why do you dedicate an entire day of this seminar to relationships?
Because if you don't, then people go and they've wired themselves for joy and happiness, and then part of their joy and happiness is not all the rules aren't just tied to them. They're in a relationship. And that person, they don't know how to interact. They don't understand. You know, they look, men, women think that men should be like women, you know, at some level, and vice versa. And so it just creates so much havoc because our culture has what's politically correct, and then there's how people really, truly respond. And you can see what's real because you can watch in the room and see it happen no matter what country or what nationality. It has nothing to do with cultural upbringing. It has to do with the way we're wired. And to me, this is the most important area of life, so I couldn't leave this out of this. And relationship magnifies everything else.
Lance wraps his arm around Tana and kisses her head.
She is not quite sure to handle this. You notice that? She's like, I kind of like it, but I don't fucking know. This is fucking crazy shit. What do you feel right now?
I want it to last.
Yes, of course. By the way, he just gave his all to her. He just slayed the fucking room. He just did everything a man can do. And at his peak moment, when he's the most vulnerable, open, and should be her fucking hero, she took a baseball bat and shoved it in his ass. Big F fucking failure for you on that one. So let me tell you what will end your relationship. Selfishness. It's a bad fucking habit. A man does not just fucking appear. Heal the boy, and the man will appear.
Backstage.
2:20, how long was that?
2 hours and 19.
12:05? That was 2 hours and 20 minutes? Everybody sat through the whole thing and didn't move, holy shit.
I know, people got...
They were riveted. Okay, well, we're not doing cycle of meaning right now. They're gonna have to blow that out.
Yep.
I'll figure a way to do it within a therapy to get the essence of that out. Okay. Give me a syntax that shows me that. Yep. Are they done now writing, I assume?
Yeah, probably.
Share with a partner. Stand up and share with a partner. What is it you want to remember? What you take out of this? What is it that you're gonna utilize for the rest of your life? Okay. But we're 2.5 hours behind or 2 hours behind?
2 hours. We had an hour and 40 minutes built in for shares and the summary.
Okay, so I'll knock an hour, 40 minutes to an hour off the share. So I'll only do it like all probably right. One or two interventions max.
Okay.
So we catch an hour back.
Yeah.
Then maybe what we do is we blow off dinner and we do a meal in their seat.
Perfect.
Fine. Let's just make it a substantial one then. We're going to need a substantial one because that's a long day.
Okay.
Even by my standards, it's a long day. So it'll be a long day for them. It'll be a fun day. It'll be an easy day.
Bonnie Pearl Sage Robbins.
One question I always get asked is who is he and what's he like behind the scenes or what's he like in life? What's he like in marriage?
Hey, Tom, Scott is here.
What you experience him to be on stage is who he is in life?
It's my brother.
In front of the curtain, behind the curtain, there is that trueness.
Go ahead, gentlemen.
He really is that hungry. He really is that passionate. He really does have that desire to connect.
A poster board reads, Platinum Reception. Tony poses for pictures.
Can I screw one together, too? Come here, you. How are you?
Tony, guess what? I have a boyfriend.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, no, that's awesome.
It's a relationship.
That's a breakthrough.
That level of kindness, that level of heart, is that man 24 hours a day.
You're going to have what you want in your life because you're made of that. It's going to be off course most of the time, but you're going to land where you want to be.
Come on.
All right?
Love you, man. Love you.
Because that is who he is. That actually invigorates him. That does not drain him. Might join me.
My wife, Bonnie Pearl, and I both are not chit-chat people. I like to go deep. She does, too. She's got as much mission as I do, and she's as driven as I am.
How can you what?
I feel safe inside.
How can you feel safe? By trusting, by knowing that you're guided, by knowing that the right timing, he'll show up for you. Do you feel that? Going like this. That's what needs to happen.
Bonnie Pearl squeezes the woman's hand, then kisses her cheek, and they hug.
Time disappears when you're doing what you love, right? And so when you can be with people and support people and you can light them up or find a little piece that you can tweak for them to help them, you know, or just give them some sanity in the middle of some crazy thing they're going through, that's very fulfilling for me. So whether I'm doing it there or from the stage really doesn't make any difference. In some ways, it's nice one-on-one because I can only focus on that human being, nobody else.
Let's do a big picture. Merry Christmas. Love you guys. Here we go. Make some noise!
From the exterior of the conference center, the picture fades to black. In time lapse, a pink dawn rises over the inlet. An aerial view glides over the high-rise buildings of Boca Raton. Situated along a golf course, the low-slung buildings of the resort stand out for their pink color. The attendees gather outside the conference center.
We were making love, and this was the first time ever in my life that I had sides of myself come out that I never even knew were there. And when I tried to make them come out before, it was awkward and weird, so I was trying, and it was just strange, and I was like, I don't like this shit, you know? I'm not being this fucking bad, naughty girl or whatever.
My wife and I had a really beautiful experience last night, and for the first time, I felt like, in the core, that I wanted children. And for a long time, I, you know, was like, we talk about it, but I didn't feel it, you know?
I've always wanted to be a mom, but, like, actually be okay with that happening in my life without even thinking about it. Like, without looking at the date and figuring out finances and figuring out all this shit that I do in my head. And it was the first night when I was with him that I was like, holy shit, I can do this. Because I can do anything with him.
A title appears over a view peering up at the tops of palm trees. Day 5, Transformation Day. A quote, stay in your head, you're dead. As Tony's SUV drives to the resort, the time appears, 9:57 a.m.
So, this Justin, Tammy and Lance apparently had the best sex of their life last night, and now, for the first time ever, he wants to have children with her. What?
We have a funny life.
Yes.
Well, I guess the wine came out, huh?
I guess so.
How do you know this? They share this in their group?
They share this with their trainer, who shared it with Vicky, who told us.
Oh, my goodness.
So, they should be in great states today.
That's awesome.
Tony, it's getting to be near the end. What's happening today?
This is when they all are going to redesign their destiny. Hello again. They now know what their values and rules are, and they've learned how to change them. And they're now going to do the process of changing them.
His dog whines at him from a couch.
I'm going to go get him, just kind of a quick review to get him in state before they go make these big decisions. Basically, the decisions on what's going to drive the next decade of their life, what they're going to focus on, what's going to be most important to them. And that'll be a lot of fun, so it's going to be a fun day.
He makes his pitching motion.
One high five to your whole team.
The team members high five each other.
How many feeling damn good? Say yes. Say yes! Say yes! You have a seat for a moment, and I want to make a point of something that I know some of you may be feeling. For those of you who are concerned that others are having breakthroughs and you're not, and they know the clock is ticking, right? There are some of you right now going, this is nice shit for those people. But I've been here, day and night, night and day. I've written down these frickin' questions. I've listened to this guy. I've gone all day without peeing or eating.
Tony paces the stage.
Clap my ass off with a bunch of strange people called my team. Deep inside, there's this concern that you're here and it's next to the last day and you're without a breakthrough. So raise your hand if you find yourself currently breakthrough-less. You have not had a single breakthrough day and night, night and day. Stand up if you are breakthrough-less. How could someone go through this entire time and not have a breakthrough? The answer is stay in your head. Write it down. Stay in your head, you're dead.
The attendees jot down the note in their journals.
However, for those of you that managed to achieve no breakthroughs, the good news is it's not over. Tonight, you're going to uncover something that has controlled your entire life, and you're going to enhance it, or you're going to transform it.
At 10:18 p.m., people sit outside writing.
The way we're going to do this is you're going to write down your primary question. Everyone has a question you ask more often than anything else on earth, and here's why that's so important. Questions control what you focus on. What you focus on is what you feel. What you feel is your experience of life. And then you'll write down your mission statement. It's something really simple. It's going to be one core sentence that's designed to be a trigger for all that you are. You could write 20 pages and it wouldn't be all you are. We want one phrase. It's going to be really what you're here to experience and what you're here to give. What you're here to be and what you're here to do. And then when you're done with that, you're going to make a poster that has these distinctions. You're going to write your mission statement across the top. Below, you're going to write your new primary question. You're going to do your top 4 one-year goals. And if you have a relationship vision you like, you can add that in the bottom corner. Why are we doing this? These are some of the most important decisions we've made over the last 5 days together. Decisions you're going to make tonight. They're why you came here. And the decisions you're going to make tonight are going to touch you and everyone you love. We get to decide tonight, what are you made for at this next stage of your life? What are you going to give? What are you going to become? What are you going to do? What are you going to feel? Now is the time for us all to step up. This next stage is a day you'll remember as long as you live. It'll be a new birthday for some of you, a birth you created, a birth of new values, a new life, and a new direction. So let's step up and make it happen now.
A woman stands alone, riding by a stand of trees. Fade to black. The picture fades back in on the long barrier island of Palm Beach in the daytime. A wave breaks in the ocean. Tony sits outside his home, pumping his arms up and down.
It may be my own bias, but I really don't believe people really feel fulfilled staying where they are. And the reason is life is growth. I don't care who it is. I mean, maybe for a period of time, it's nice to have a respite and go, I'm kind of like being here. I don't want to go after something new. Let me breathe and take it in. But if you sit at the table of success too long, you're going to get bored. Progress equals happiness. If you're growing in anything, financially, spiritually, emotionally, in your relationship, in your body, you're going to feel better in your life. That's what we're made for. And I think we're made to grow so we have something to give. You know, you can't give something you really don't have. On the very first day, I just asked people, what is an extraordinary life for you? I want them to identify what's life on their terms. Is that building the garden and writing poetry? Then do that and feel it, right? Really, don't settle. Don't get caught up in the other pieces there. Or is there a dream that you just give up on that you're going to pour yourself back into just so you feel more alive? I'm a big believer that it's growth, but there are so many paths, and I don't have the delusion that mine is the best or the only or the right path or anything like that. I'm just a path for somebody who wants to try something new and say, I'm going to look at humanity through different eyes. I'm going to see myself through different eyes and maybe feel a level of energy I've not felt in decades, years, or ever. And then I'm going to take that and go rip my life open to a new level. That's who I'm for.
He sits peacefully facing the sea, wearing earbuds and a ball cap. In Boca Raton, a panoramic view surveys the pink buildings of the resort. Day 6, Integration Day, a quote, "We're meant to grow, so we have something to give," at 10:30 a.m.
Come on, everybody. Doors are open. We're going to get going. Day 6, stay with Destiny. The party's getting ready to start. The best stuff is going to happen. You don't want to miss it. Come on.
Today, we're going to take every single thing, every major decision we made this week, and we're going to take it through a process that's going to take it from being as thoughts or ideas or concepts into your body.
Doors are open. Come on back. Come on back, everybody. Come on.
How do we make sure this continues and doesn't end here? I'll tell you the secret. I didn't go to an event one time in my life, and then I was fit for life. So you have to have a daily practice. The training never stops. You need a system. How many agree? Say aye. Make that system work. It'll make it happen. So now, well, you're going to take that poster of yours that has your mission statement, your values, and we're going to take it and get it, the core of it in our nervous system. And we're going to do it this way. You're going to get with four people. And this group's goal is to help you to integrate completely everything you've committed to here, to own it in your nervous system 1,000,000%. You're going to get up there and say, I, your name, see, hear, feel, know that I am decisive. Whatever the fuck it is, right? You're either going to get it, you go, yes. If there's any ounce of it's not there, you say nothing. You're going to have to use all your sensory acuity, your awareness, be with this person, and you're going to have to feel, do they completely own in every ounce of their soul what they just said? I want to warn you about something. In this room, it's going to be incredibly loud. I want you to have to fight here. I want you to have everything else trying to distract you, and you having to zero in on this one person, feeling them with every possible distraction. That's a muscle we all want, all right? Get your groups of four right now. Go.
I, Ryan, see, hear, feel, know that I am bold.
I, Dawn, see, hear, feel, and know that I am love. What do I need, guys?
You are
help me.
You, when you say love, you're not love, you're love. Go deep, very deep inside of you, real deep. Very deep, very, very, very fucking deep. It's not deep, it's very fucking deep, right? Okay.
This is the point that we've been working for, where you actually redesign what you do with your life. When you guys change your values, one of the most wild things is some of you are going to see things you've never seen before. Notice things you've never noticed. Feel things you've not felt before. Because the priorities of your nervous system literally will change.
I dare see, hear, feel, and know I am passion.
Woo!
I think destiny is two things. It's who you're going to become and what are you going to give in this life.
If you don't step up and be that person, she's never going to find it.
Fuck that!
You're the one that's going to break
Fuck
the pattern.
That!
You're going to break the pattern.
Now!
See, most people are so busy surviving, making a living, they never design a life. And if you don't take the time to design it, which is what we're doing here, you're going to miss out.
I'm enough. I have always been enough. I will always be enough.
Yeah.
You are enough. As you are. You are enough. I will just change your life forever.
You'll snap your fingers and 10 years will happen. You'll look back and go, where'd it go? 10 years from now, we will surely arrive. The question is, where?
I, Brax, see, hear, feel, and know that I am love. I am strength. I am wise. And I am passion.
Anchor that into your body right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Holding hands in a circle, Dawn and her group bounce up and down. Other groups embrace cathartically. A wider view shows attendees connecting with each other all throughout the ballroom. Tony goes unnoticed as he steps down off the stage. In a service corridor, he takes his wife's hand.
What was the breakthrough moment for you where you really understood that this was going to be your mission in life?
I don't know if there's, you know, everybody wants to think of a moment. I think life is many stacking moments like that. I don't think it's one moment suddenly you have this breakthrough. I mean, it can happen that way. I'm sure there were at times it seemed like that, but I've had a pretty full life, so I don't know if there's one. I do know that when I was a sophomore in high school, I had a forensic speech class And in that class, I was in love with the senior high school song leader, like every boy was, and I was somewhat humorous. And so I would crack her up. I could make her laugh. I got a lot of attention. And I would do this where I'd take over the whole class. Like these two jury trials, Mr. Listen, since you're both in the room at the same time, let me just thank everybody. I got to say, I know some of you, who's been with me more than 10 years of these events? Look at this. Wow. One day, the forensic speech teacher, Mr. Cobb, he said, Mr. Robbins, you'll remain after class. Pulls me aside after class, and I'll never forget, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so busted. And he said, you know why you're here? And I said, yes, I know I'm here, sir. And he said, no, you don't. I can tell you don't. He said, I know who you are. I said, excuse me? He said, I know you want the girl's attention. That's not why you're here. It's pretty rare to be able to serve people in a state like this where they come and they are willing to put everything on the line and they're willing to open up. And I can't thank all of your staff because it doesn't matter what position you play. You know, moving a chair makes a difference. Bringing the water makes a difference. Because when anything's missing, the whole thing falls apart. He said, I have never seen anybody who could just stand up and speak with no notes, look around at kids who won't listen, and mesmerize them with just raw communication. He said, you're not a speaker. He said, you're a communicator. And I was like, looking at him like he was crazy. And he said, I know more about your life, Mr. Robbins, than you probably think I do or you think anybody does. I know about your home life. Like, looking at him like, what? And he goes, I wanted you to read this. And he hands me this speech, and it's called The Will to Win. And he said, just read it. If it's not your life, give it back to me and forget about it. But if I pegged you right, that speech is you. And I want you to go compete at this regional final in persuasive oratory. To my leadership, it feels so incredible that I can go full force into that room, and I know that there are going to be some people that are going to need that individual attention, and that you guys will grab them and be on top of it. And I think that's the gift of this community we built here, is we've raised the standard for caring. And I read the speech, and I cried my eyes out. And it was all about just never, ever, ever giving up. Just pure will is what keeps you going. At that stage of my life, that's all it was pure will. And so I read that thing, and I said, this is me. And I got up, and I went to this regional competition, and I tranched everybody. I won first place, and then I went to another one and won first place, another one first place.
Grab a picture right here.
It was a breakthrough because I began to realize I had a way I could reach people. So I'm deeply touched, and I'm very grateful. Thank you for being my partners and creating another magnificent event that those human beings will never be the same again.
Bonnie Pearl stops to give a woman a kiss as she and Tony make their way out of the staff gathering.
Why is it still an emotional experience for you to even tell that story?
Because I see that as a moment of grace. That man, you know, in my life, handing me that letter and seeing who I was in that moment, that was grace. There's a lot I've done, but that was grace. I didn't create that. And so while I've done my part to sculpt who I am, and I've done a hell of a lot for that, to say the least, and it never ends for me, I also recognize grace. It's a connection to the divine, a connection to know that it's more than you. And I think that's a healthy thing.
Clouds bend and swirl across the sky.
Sometimes in life, we're wanting to make steps forward, but there seems to be something pulling us back. The human consciousness is an interesting device in that the brain is learning all the time. And the brain's primary job is to make sure you survive, so it's always looking what to protect you from. And very often in life, we have an experience and we react to that experience. It's like a muscle contracting, but then we keep it contracted. We never, once it's safe, let go again. And it limits what we can experience in our life. Freud figured out that if he could go back to before the moment, it could heal the moment that was holding you. Because you've forgotten something that would make you let go. And so I'm going to take you through an experience of doing that. And this process, you don't have to understand it. This is a journey you're going to go on. You'll remember certain things. And as you remember them, you can make some new decisions about what they mean and how it might mean a new life to you.
A sunset paints the sky shades of orange and violet over the coastline of high rises.
I'm wondering what your earliest memory is. Where were you? What were you experiencing? What did it mean? What did you decide back then? It's a decision that affected the way you think about life.
A roaming view travels out to sea.
Okay, now lights down, and we'll do our breath. We're gonna rise up with our hands, but as you do it, you're taking the breath in.
The attendees mimic him, pumping their arms up and down in tandem with their breathing. Everyone holds his or her eyes closed, the ballroom lit dimly in shades of purple.
Stop. Stop. Hands relaxed, palms face up, relaxed. Just feel your body. Feel how your breath has calmed your mind. With your eyes remaining closed, put both your hands on your heart and breathe deep into your heart.
Points of light drift around the screen behind Tony like fireflies.
Breathe in your heart and feel the strength of your heart. Feel grateful for the gift of your heart. For as long as it beats, you live.
The attendees all sit in their meditative states.
I want you to think of three moments in your life that you could feel deeply grateful for if you wanted to. Just go on a journey of one moment after the other of gratitude.
An excerpt of a home movie shows newlyweds kissing in the desert. Back at the seminar, the attendees remain with their eyes closed.
You may feel a hand touch your head. If it does, just keep in the state you're in and intensify. If it doesn't, you'll still feel the energy. It'll be in you.
A woman stands with her hands held on someone's head. A snippet of a home movie shows a little girl's birthday party. In another video, two kids hold hands and twirl on a dance floor. Tony's meaty fingers are cupped over a man's scalp. Another person weeps while a staffer stands behind him with her hands hovering around his head.
Really go for it. Step in the moment like you're there, looking through your own eyes, seeing what you saw then, feeling what you felt then, appreciating.
A child rides a roller coaster. Bonnie Pearl holds her hands cupped around a woman's head.
Feeling the blessing of that moment. What a blessing it was in your life. How grateful you are.
Vintage home movies show a woman and boy posing in front of the Grand Canyon and people riding horses. Another attendee weeps in his meditative state.
Take in the gratitude of that moment. Feel it.
A baby looks around.
Feel what it led to that you feel so grateful for. That it was a blessing.
Tears stream down a woman's cheeks. In another home video, a girl jumps off a boulder onto the beach and rolls around in the sand.
In a few moments, you'll open your eyes, feeling integrated, feeling strong, feeling like a healing, feeling filled with gratitude, wanting to stretch, to strengthen, and to feel fully alive more than ever. Feeling at one with yourself and one with life, where an energy will come through you and you can celebrate that with your voice in that moment. Get ready. Open your eyes whenever you're ready, and when you want, you can stand and you can begin to stretch and you can feel the energy build inside you. Let it build and then make a sound of total joy, total excitement. 1, 2, 3, go!
Dawn throws her head back in elation. Another woman rocks her hips as she lets out her yell with her eyes closed. Tony and Bonnie Pearl stand side by side with their arms outstretched toward the ceiling. A blonde woman lets her hands split apart while keeping them raised. A brunette smiles blissfully. A woman with closed eyes and an open mouth sways on her feet, while shaking her head in awe. The crowd of hands fills the room. Some of the hands wave in the air.
Feel the guidance that never leaves us. Take everything in here so you can take it home forever. Breathe it. Feel it. Own it tonight and every night. You take the greatest gifts of all home, who you've become, the choices you made, the strength, the love, the commitment in your heart. And the sound will always bring you back to this moment. One, two, three, make the sound of who you are!
A man with his face pinched in sincerity pumps his fists overhead. A flashback shows Tony speaking to the suicidal man at the start of the film. Then, him crowd surfing over the hands of strangers. Dawn sobs in the middle of telling her story, then receives a hug from Tony.
We've been on a little journey. It wasn't a trip. A trip is predictable. A trip is boring. A journey has all kinds of discoveries, doesn't it? Did you discover some new friends? Did you discover some new feelings? Did you discover a new you? So just for a moment, think about, if you go to a great concert, what are you looking to feel? Fully alive, isn't it? Here you were the concert. The concert was a family of people from 71 countries who came together to create music, magic, a transformation. We brought our desire, our hunger, our love, our caring, and we left our fear, our limitations, our frustration, and our fucking past behind. That's what we did here, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a privilege to serve you. We've laughed, we've cried, we've broken through. It was a blind date with destiny. How did she turn out that date for you? Until meet again, hopefully soon. Make your life a masterpiece, my dear friends. God bless you.
He blows them all a kiss, then leaves the stage hand in hand with his wife. Cut to black. Directed and produced by Joe Berlinger. Executive producers Brian Koppelman, David Levien.
This whole week here in Date with Destiny was just a confirmation that by expressing myself and just not being afraid to be judged or, you know, to let that out, it touched so many people. So that's what I want to do for the rest of my life, and I don't want to have fear. I want to let that shine, and so I'm excited about that.
A message appears. Dawn is working on her first book documenting her story. She is dedicating her life to supporting and empowering young women who have experienced trauma.
It meant a lot to me, the support of other people. There was a point when I felt, I can trust I'm in the right place.
Since Date with Destiny, Matthias has spent the last year training to become a life and business coach in Berlin.
Everybody wants to know what happened after the call. I feel like I came in here and I had the weight of the world with me. And I feel like I set it down and I don't want to pick it back up.
Holly and her boyfriend decided to stay together and have gained a new understanding about how to relate to each other.
Pretty much after I contacted my dad, I was able to stay in contact with him. We've been texting and talking to each other every day. I think everything in my life will just be a lot better. I'll see my dad a lot more. I definitely want him to be a big part of my life again.
Sienna and her father bonded and mended their relationship. He unexpectedly passed away 6 months later. She is grateful for the time spent with him up until the last moments of his life. Executive producers John Kamen, Frank Sherma, Justin Wilkes.
Knowing that she's got my back now, we can push forward and conquer our dreams, and it's just amazing.
I mean, it makes me so happy because now I get to choose the stuff that makes me light up.
Lance and Tammy welcomed the birth of their first son, Keenan, 11 months later, in November 2015. Executive producers Lisa Nishimura, Adam Del Deo. Producers Kevin Huffman, Lisa Gray. Fireworks burst in the sky.
The idea that I could start a chain reaction of transformation where people, each one teach one. You know, I can teach them and they go teach someone else. When I think about the families we're touched by this week, when I think about the businesses and employees, that makes the whole thing worthwhile.
Many people hug.
What do you hope that this film will capture?
My hope is that maybe somebody will watch this film and say, oh, wow, it was really beautiful to watch these people transform. Just watch it for that. And maybe that'll make them think about what's possible for themselves.
What about giving people a better understanding of who Tony Robbins is?
I don't know that many people give a shit. Honestly, if that's what your film's success is based on, I think you're in trouble. I think it's got to be based on something bigger than that. I think it's going to be based on what makes human beings fulfilled, what makes them alive, what makes them hungry, what makes them change. You know, we all know that change can happen in a moment, but we're afraid it won't last. How is it that people can make lasting changes in minutes? What makes that possible? And is it really real? And can I taste it and feel it? And could I experience it myself? I think that's a hell of a lot more interesting than, you know, Tony Robbins.
Copyright 2016, Not Your Guru, LLC. All rights reserved. For Bruce Sanofsky, 1956 to 2015. A film frame is on a person's forehead. Third Eye Motion Picture Company. White lettering appears against the black background. Radical Media. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.